Here again with you. Was here in September with my wife. This time she couldn't come, but she sends lots of love and greetings to all of you. And we are trusting and believing that God has great things in store for this church. And many of you are going to be called into serving the Lord in a deeper way, in a more responsibility. So be ready. Okay, be ready. God is a great God and has something really, really big for all of us. The day before, I was talking to Howard, praying with him, and he asked me, what are you going to preach about? And I have felt in my heart to share about the Bride of Christ. So when I said to Howard, I'm going to preach about the Bride of Christ, the big smile came to his face, because he said to me, and I think you all know about this, that this is one of his preferred more favorite subjects that he has in his heart. He one time preached about the Bride of Christ for an entire year, and then he wants to do it again, maybe for 2-3 years. So we just pray that the Lord will give him healing and strength to continue doing it. But this subject is very, very important in our Christian life. And it is important for us to know that that's the call of God upon every believer, to be part of the Bride of Christ. And we will talk about this, the glory of God in the Bride of Christ, because the call to be the Bride of Christ is a call to be overcomers. And this doctrine of the overcomers, this doctrine of the Bride of Christ, is extremely important because it gives us a goal for our lives. It is not only good to know that we are saved, because we know that we are eternally saved. Once we become children of God, that thing is secure, it's for us there. But we cannot just wander around the world and doing the things of the world, but there is a high call for all of us, and that call is to become the Bride of Christ, to be part of the Bride of Christ. So we are not looking backwards to the day we were saved. We're looking forward to become the Bride of Christ. And that's the key doctrine that will bring revival to our hearts. You know, one thing I'm sure, and I hear this from Howard also every time I talk to him every day, sometimes two times a day. And the thing that keeps him moving forward is that he wants to present himself as part of the Bride of Christ. As part of the Bride of Christ, whenever the Lord takes him home, because the I think I need a little bit of water. Hallelujah. The thing that drives us is not the ministry, it is to be part of the Bride of Christ. That's the highest call. So when we talk about the highest call, we need to understand, how does Christ produce his glory in us to make us his glorious bride? We all are called to be part of the Bride of Christ. This is a very special call to every believer in Jesus. And since God makes no respect of people, he wants each of those who have been born again to become the Bride of Christ. But the fact is that many are called, but few are chosen. You know, in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, we saw that he called many people, and he gave opportunity to many people to get to know him, to be close to him, but not all of them remained with Jesus. After 3.5 years of ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was going to the Father, he made the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He left the disciples with a commandment: do not go out from Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And of the thousands and thousands of people that the Lord blessed, only 120 remained faithful, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And you may have thought, well, was the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ a failure? Were not all of them saved? I think thousands and thousands of people were saved. by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. But only few remained faithful to the call of God. Only those 120 remained faithful, and those were the initiation of the church, which will become the bride of Christ. And God can use many or a few to fulfill the call that he has for his church, because the heart of God is to have a bride for his son. The election, when we talk about the chosen, the election is not for salvation. This is for a higher calling. All the commands, encouragement, and even admonitions that Jesus and the apostles gave were for us believers to respond to the call of God to become the bride of Christ. You know, when Jesus said the Sermon on the Mount, and when we read the letters of Paul and Peter and John to the churches and to the individuals, we see that there is a call for a higher things, to go for more in the Lord, to move forward in the things of God. And all those letters, all those commandments, all those instructions that the Bible has in the New Testament are inviting us. Look ahead. Look at the prize. Look at the highest call for your life, which the Lord wants you to be the bride of Christ. In Romans 8:29, we find this revelation that says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren." This is the right understanding on predestination. We are not predestined for salvation, but to be conformed to the image of Christ. Predestination, in this verse in Romans 8:29, it says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Being born again is a miracle. It's a creative thing. It's something that did not exist, and now God created a child of him, a son or a daughter of God, and we are born out of the will of God into a new creature. We are a new creation of God. Like the same way God created the universe, we are a new creation when we are born again. But this predestination, it says here in Romans 8:29, that is for us to be conformed, to be made into the image of Christ. And that's what the Lord is wanting to do in each of us every day of our lives. He wants you to be more like Jesus. He wants you to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the quality that the Lord will develop in all of us to make us part of the bride of Christ. God is working through your circumstances. God is working through your trials. God is working through your problems. When I talk to Howard, I always tell him, we don't understand why you're going through all of this, but one thing is sure, he's perfecting you, so when you go to his presence, you will be perfected, and you will receive a full reward. It's not easy, but it is the work of God. And we know that the Lord is working in all of us through our circumstances, trials, problems, so we may look to the Lord, and he may conform us to his own image, and we may be part of the bride of Christ. This is what Christ has to do in us to become his glorious bride. Responding to what Christ wants to do in us is what qualifies us to be part of the bride of Christ. It's not what we do, it's what he does in us. Our part is only to respond. God is the leader, Jesus is the head. Jesus goes ahead, and he has a call for your life. And he is speaking to all of us even today, and he will continue to speak to us. And as we respond, the part of the Christian that wants to become the bride of Christ is responding, answering to the call of God, and then he will do the work in us. This is what God foreknew, because once God wants a bride made from those who respond in love and not because they were pre-programmed by him to respond. Some people think about predestination that God has someday was sitting down and said, I'm going to make a man, not a very good person, and then I will predestine him to, you know, behave bad, do evil, do all those things that are wrong. And then he turned around and said, well, I'm going to make another man that's going to be a good man, that's going to be obedient, that's going to be following me and everything like that. It's not like that. Predestination is based on his foreknowledge. The Bible says, those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become the children of God. And what God did foreknow, our response in love to him. Because love cannot be pre-programmed, right? If it is pre-programmed, it's automatic. But if it is love, it's willful. And God has given us a free will for us to decide to love the Lord and to serve him and to respond to the call of God upon our lives. And the main quality of a bride is that she is in love. And she has decided to love the bridegroom. And because of that decision in her life, she wants to follow him and respond to every aspect of the call of God upon her life. So it is for us very important to understand that God is working and God is calling us and God is expecting us to respond in love to the call of God upon our lives. The most important decision then of our free will that we have is to love the Lord. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. It's an invitation of God to put in action our self-will, to decide as Christian, my desire, my decision is to love the Lord. Now, there are four areas in which God wants us to respond to this highest call. And as we respond in love, his glory will be manifested in us so that we may become his bride. You know, the bride is a glorious bride. And it is not for us to make it ourselves because we can't. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to do it in us as we respond in love to these four areas of our life. And as we are responding, we will find that the glory of God, the glory of Christ is being poured out in us and we will be transformed from where we are now into a glorious church for the wedding, for the ceremony of the marriage of the Lamb. These four areas are going to show us there are four glories that will be manifested in us. The first one is the glory of his name. It's a glory of fame. The name of the Lord is famous and should be famous in the good reason. Second thing is the glory of the word. The glory of the word is the glory of fruitfulness because we find out, for example, in the parable of the sower and the seed, that the word produces fruit for the glory of God. The third glory that will be manifested in us as the bride of Christ is the glory of his life, a glory of favor, a glory of grace that will enable us to do whatever the Lord is calling us to do. It's not our job. God has not a hiring agency to say, I need a person that has these qualities to fill up this vacancy that I have. It's not like that. It's God calls those who are not able to do anything, the ones that are, fool and stubborn and, worthless in this life, and he gives us the grace. And then everything is just glorious because it's the glory of his grace that enables us to do whatever we do for the Lord. And then the last area is the glory of his presence. And this is the glory of fellowship when we are in the presence of God. The important thing is to have fellowship with him. And then we will find how these four glories will be manifested in us in the passage that is Ephesians 5, 22 through 32. So we'll be looking at that passage section by section and find these four glories in our lives as we respond to the call of God. The first passage is Ephesians 5 verses 22 to 24. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the first thing that we can find in Jesus Christ that is calling us to be the bride is that Christ is the head of the church. And we will receive the glory of his name by being submissive to Christ and honoring his name by that submission. A wife that is not submitted does not honor her head. It is very important for us as a church to respond to the first call of God. Jesus is our head. If we want to be the bride of Christ, we need to be submissive to the head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because submission is not by imposition. Submission has to be by a personal desire of the woman or of the church or of the individual to voluntarily submit to the head. God is not going to choke us and shake us and say, you have to submit. No. There is no command, there is no authorization for any man to make his wife submit to him. Every time the word submission comes, is directed to the wife, so she willfully submit in love. And the fact that God wants from us, and Jesus as the head of the church wants from us, is that we decide in love to submit to him as the head of our life. As we submit to the Lord, we will continue walking and being prepared as the bride of Christ. This love submission is manifested by the way we speak or express anywhere we are. And this is explained in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, which says, but speaking or expressing the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. This is the glory of his name. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is a very important verse in knowing how to submit to the Lord. Because as we submit to the Lord, we will have an expression of the truth in our lives. It says here, speaking the truth in love. Many times we don't speak the truth in love. We just say our opinion on something, and someone is very hurting, is very sharp, is very wounding, and we say, I'm speaking this to you in love, but you do. And then the person says, oh, that's not speaking the truth in love. That's sharing our opinion on something. What the verse really means is that we express the truth in love to everyone around us. So when we are submitted to the Lord, his work will be manifested in us, and we will express the truth of Christ that is in us, in love. Everywhere we go, we will be expressing or speaking or sharing the truth of God in love. We will be people that will receive from the head, which is Christ, the love of God. And when we walk in submission of love, we will be people that will be contagious everybody with the love of God. That's what this verse really means, that by speaking the truth in love. And then we will be responding in submission to Christ as our head. And this will result in expressing the truth in love, which in turn will result in being submitted to one another. A Christian that is submitted to the Lord is also willing to submit to one another, because we serve the Lord by serving others. And when we are responding in love submission to the Lord with that same attitude, we will come to submit to one another, to pray for one another, to submit to their needs, to help one another. And we will be expressing the love of Christ everywhere we go. It's not by force. You don't have to do it. But if you love the Lord and Jesus Christ is your head, you will be willing in love to serve and to submit to one another. And then as we submit to one another, then every joint will supply, because all of us will be receiving as we submit to one another. Every joint will supply And the end result of this first call, or first part of the call, is that we all be edified in love. What a wonderful church, right? Everybody submitted to the headship of Christ. Love comes from the head. Everybody submitting one another in love, and we all are serving one another. Every joint supplies, because we all have something from the Lord to share in love to one another. And then we all are edified in love. That's what it means to be submissive to the headship of Christ. It's not legalism, it's service by love. His fame then, the glory of his fame, or the glory of his name, will spread out, reaching out many for Christ. This is the glory of his name. When people around see a church that have a heart of submission before the Lord, that have the love of God, and that shares their burdens to one another and pray for one another, everybody, I tell you for sure, everybody would like to come to this church. So God is preparing us to impact the world and to bring glory to the name of the Lord as we submit as a church to him. The second aspect is the glory of his word. Now, the second section in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." The second thing we find here is that Jesus Christ is the sanctifier. It doesn't say that the church will purify herself or sanctify herself. It says here that Jesus gave himself for her so he may, that he will sanctify his church. The work of sanctification is not a personal work. It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is very good because he does everything right. The way Christ produces this glory of his word is in us is by giving himself first for us. This giving of himself gave him the right to sanctify us and to clean us by his word. And he actually bought us, and as we belong to him, he is continually sanctifying us with his rhema words. The glory of his word is that Jesus the shepherd and Jesus the sanctifier, Jesus the bridegroom, is speaking to us every day. I know he's speaking to you today. I feel the Holy Spirit moving very strongly in the hearts of everyone here. And God's speaking to us. And not only here, every time you open the Bible, every time you hear a message, every time you hear a song, sometimes you hear a prophecy, sometimes you hear a testimony, or God speaks directly to you, maybe in a dream, maybe in a vision, maybe when you're seeing the creation, because all the creation speaks about the Lord. And God's speaking to all of us. And those words are calling us to have a more pure life. And as we respond to those invitations of the Lord, those words of the Lord, we will see that this word of God that he's giving us, and as we receive it, will do the work of sanctification, purification, cleaning in us. The Holy Spirit then makes the word of God alive to us. And we need to respond to this, to his sanctifying words, so that the process of sanctification could happen. The sanctification is by removing the spots or the wrinkles or any such thing which are related as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Responding means to surrender those things that hinder our deeper relationship with him. So the word of God is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit makes the word of God alive. And then we respond, and the Lord is asking us to give him more time. Maybe we spend a lot of time on Facebook, and the Holy Spirit says, that's too much. And what do? Do we justify ourselves or do we yield? We have to yield. We have to tell the Lord, okay, I understand. Maybe we're spending too much time on TV. Maybe we're spending too much time on things of this world. And God is speaking by his word. And the thing that we need to do to respond is not to fight against those things, but just to surrender them to the Lord and tell them, God, I surrender them to you. And this action of our will give us the ability to obey, because it's there when God says that he works the desire and the will to obey what he's asking us to do. So as we respond, the word will be sanctifying us in that process. Once we are sanctified and clean, Christ himself will introduce us to himself as his glorious church. Christ first cleans us, and then he presents us to himself and says, okay, here is my bride. Very clean, very beautiful. I love you, my bride, because I've done the work of cleaning in you by my word. We have to be more and more sanctified by him every day by surrendering all of our desires to him. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, Paul says, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And to me, it's very interesting that Paul is writing this passage, closing the second letter to the Corinthians, because if you read the book of the letters to the Corinth church, you'll find out that the Corinth church was not really very good church, right? They had plenty of mistakes. They have disorders in the Holy Communion. They had a man that had went into his father's wife in a wrong relationship. And Paul is admonishing and correcting the church of Corinth in the two letters. Two long letters Paul writes to the church of Corinth. But at the end, at the closing of the second letter, he writes this verse and says, for I am jealous because I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So there is hope, because the sanctifier power of the Lord Jesus Christ by his word is effective, is powerful, and regardless of what kind of Christian life you have lived, Jesus can still clean you and present you to himself as a pure bride that has no spot, no wrinkle, no anything to be ashamed of. Hallelujah. So this is the glory of fruitfulness. Sanctification is a fruit of the cleansing of the word of God in us. The holier we get, the more glory we will bring to the word of God. The bride is holy, therefore the Lord has a good testimony to the world. Hallelujah. So he's accepted before the Lord and has a good testimony before the world. The third aspect of the glory of God is the glory of his life. The third section in Ephesians 5, verses 28 through 30 says, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay, all the men repeat this. He who loves his wife loves himself. I didn't hear all the men, please. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay, please memorize that verse and repeat it every day. Hallelujah. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The third role of the Lord Jesus Christ as in preparation for his bride is that Christ nourishes and cherishes us, his church. And by that, God produces the glory of his life in us, nourishing and cherishing us. I would say that this is the romantic part of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares for his wife. He sees that she has eaten, that she is fed, that she is well fed with good food. And he also cherishes her. Maybe she puts the coat on her. Maybe she covers her in the night, gives her a good night's kiss. And all of those things, he's cherishing his bride. And we need to learn, we as men need to learn a lot from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he takes very good care of his bride. Hallelujah. Amen. All the women are very happy now. Hallelujah. This is the work of his grace inside and outside. Jesus said in John 6, 53 and 54, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And it is from him that we are going to be nourished and that we are going to be cherished by receiving the flesh and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we just did the Holy Communion, that's a reminder of the love of God for us, how he cares for us, and how he is always with us. So the first aspect is nourishing. Nourishing is providing spiritual food for maturity, for internal growth. This is eating his flesh. This is the transformation of the way we think. Not as a babes anymore, but as mature children. A mature woman that is growing to the stature of Christ. So Jesus Christ will nurture us, will give us spiritual food. All these teachings that you hear, that you've been hearing from Howard for many years, is the way the Lord is nourishing us for what purpose? Not for us to be fat, but for us to grow up. For all of us to get to the stature of Christ, to be mature people. Because Jesus Christ is not going to marry a little girl. That little girl has to grow, has to mature, has to become to the stature of Christ. Imagine that beautiful scene when Jesus Christ is about to get married and he takes his bride by the two hands and looks at her eye to eye, face to face. And this church will be so beautiful in front of his eyes because he has nurtured her. He has nourished her. He has fed her. He has given her the right food for her to grow into maturity. Hallelujah. This is coming so beautiful. Hallelujah. Cherishing is his tender love for external behavior. And this is talking to us about drinking his blood. Behaving like a beloved bride with dignity. Because with the blood of Christ, there is no guilt, no condemnation, no curse, no rejection, full acceptance before him. Dignified by him to walk by his side. So the blood of Jesus will give us a full freedom from any shame that we may have to be walking at the side of our bridegroom. Imagine a bride that is walking at the side of her bridegroom, all like not wanting to look at the people, what they're going to say about me, No, the bride of Christ will walk with dignity because she has been redeemed by the blood, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And she will be very, very happy to be at the side of her bridegroom walking into the eternity because she has been prepared. She's a beloved wife. She feels loved by her bridegroom. And there is no shame in her. There is dignity. We're not talking about pride in the wrong way. We're talking about dignity that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are walking and you're being prepared to be the bride of Christ, there will be of the dignity of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, because this is the glory of his life manifested in you. So Jesus wants to nourish us and he wants to cherish us so we may be prepared and receive the glory of his life. In this case, we need to respond by leaving the childish things behind and mature by taking responsibilities out of love. Again, everything is out of love for our bridegroom. How do we mature? By taking responsibilities. Even in the natural, if the child doesn't know how to take his own responsibilities or her own responsibilities, he will never mature. If mom and dad are always solving all of their problems, doing their homework, you know, fixing everything for him or her, that child is not going to mature. So God wants us to mature in the Lord and to grow in the Lord by taking responsibilities to serve him, but out of love to our Lord Jesus. These two aspects, the nourishing and the cherishing, produce the glory of his life manifested in maturity and dignity in us. This is the glory of his grace. When a Christian is moving in the glory of the grace of God, he feels confident, not in himself, but in the Lord. And serves with confidence, not in himself, but in the Lord. That's the glory of his grace. The fourth aspect that the Lord wants to work in us will manifest the glory of his presence in us. And the last passage in Ephesians 5, I will read verses 31 and 32, says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And the fourth role of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is the bridegroom. He is the head. What's the second one? I forgot. Sorry? The sanctifier. Thank you. Thank you, sister. The head, the sanctifier, the nourisher and cherisher, is that's number three. And number four, he is the bridegroom. And he will marry us. There will be a marriage ceremony. You know, it's very beautiful how the Bible starts with a marriage ceremony that God did with Adam and Eve, and it closes with a marriage ceremony of the Lamb of God and his beautiful bride. So marriage is important for the Lord. Hallelujah. And he wants to marry a beautiful and glorious bride. We will show the glory of his presence when he marries us, his glorious church. So when we are in his presence and we have been prepared as his glorious bride, in that union, in that ceremony of marriage, he will share of his glory to us. And we will be enjoying the glory of his presence like we cannot do in this world. Christ, the Son of God, left his father, because the first requirement is a man should leave his father and mother. So Jesus Christ left his father in heaven to become a man and to redeem a bride for himself. And because of that, he had to be like her. And he became the Son of Man. Jesus had to take a decision and say, I need a bride. I want a bride. I need to be like her first. And he became a man. And he suffered in this world. Temptations, he suffers thirst, he suffered, he got tired, he needed to sleep, he needed to eat. And he went through all of the things that we go through in this world because he wanted a bride. So he left his father in heaven and he came to this world as a Son of Man to identify himself with us. So Jesus knows you and Jesus knows the things that you're going through. And he left his father to fulfill the first requirement of marriage, which is the man should leave his father and mother. So Jesus left his father. Christ has willfully joined his bride, his wife, in a commitment, in an engagement, by the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus had to go through the death, burial, and resurrection to offer his bride a bright future. He had to go through that process, but when he came back to life, when he resurrected, when he overcame death, sin, Satan, when he had fulfilled the law, when he had accomplished everything, he came back to life and he said to his bride, I'm ready for you. I'm waiting for you. I'm going to go up to my father and sit down at the right hand of my father, but I am looking forward for the day that you and I am going to get married. And he is engaged to the church of Christ, to his church. He's engaged to his beautiful bride. And he is there waiting for us to be ready, to be prepared. You know, he's not coming, not because the signs and the prophecies are not fulfilled. And this is a precious thought. He hasn't come because he wants you to respond and be ready as a bride. And when the Lord sees that his bride is ready, he will rapture her. That's a good way to get married, right? He will come pick up her, his bride, and take her to heaven. Hallelujah. So we already betrothed and engaged with him. The verse in Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16, talks about this process of the sufferings of Christ giving birth to his church. It says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So this is a prophetic psalm about how in the sufferings of Christ the church was born. And Jesus, on his resurrection, God finally engaged with her. Christ also will become one spiritual body. The three requirements is leaving father and mother, joining to his wife, and then being one flesh. In this case, will be one spiritual body with his beloved bride at the wedding in heaven. So we all are looking forward. Paul said this is a mystery. So I cannot explain how that's going to happen. We will find out in heaven. But I'm sure it's going to be glorious. Because Revelation chapter 19 verses 6 through 8 says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed or clothed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." I know the brides today look for the most beautiful dress. Some of them spend thousands of dollars. There is a series in the TV that is called the Dress of the Bride or something like that. And it's, I know who's watching it. And they spend thousands of hours and they try one dress after the other, after the other, after the other. The wedding is in 2 days and they still have not decided what dress to wear because they want to look beautiful. But there will be no more beautiful dress than the one that the bride of Christ will wear. Fine linen. All of this beauty of the glory of the Lord will be given to us. And it says something very interesting here. For the fine linen that is clothing the bride is the righteous acts of the saints. When we move in the presence of the Lord, when we live in the presence of the Lord, we will produce righteous acts. It's not acts of self-effort. Are acts that the Lord Jesus in his righteousness will produce in us. And this is our response to making ourselves ready for the wedding of the Lord. Our response in the glory, in this glory, is to manifest the righteous acts. And some of them are mentioned in Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. I'm going to quickly go through these verses. So you may say, these are the righteous acts that will dress me up when I get to heaven. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Contributing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All of these are acts of righteousness that will be produced by the Lord Jesus Christ in us, and this will be the preparation for us to present ourselves with a beautiful dress. What are we going to wear for the wedding? The righteous acts that we did in this life. There is a reward. Every time you give a cup of water to a thirsty person, in that day you will see that you are wearing that as your bride dress. Every good work that you do in favor to others, and I read a long list of things that we can all do, is going to adorn, is going to be the beautiful things that we will be dressing in that day. And the Lord is giving us opportunity after opportunity in this life. We can look around, there are so many people in need. And we need to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing us. So in that day, there will be a marriage ceremony, and we will be dressed with those righteous acts as a response in love, responding in love to our bridegroom and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be ready. I want to be well-dressed for that wedding, and I'm going to continue doing these acts, this of righteousness that you produce in me for your glory. So these are the rewards. These are the things that we will see in the wedding ceremony before the Lord. So these righteous acts will be our beautiful wedding dress. The marriage will last for eternity. I'm glad Jesus is not ever going to divorce us. Praise God. He's a faithful husband. And this is the glory of fellowship, because we will fellowship with the Lord for eternity. What a glorious thing. So, four qualities of the bride of Christ. Are you part of the bride of Christ? There are four qualities that will be manifested in your life as you respond to the call of your bridegroom. Number one, submit in love to the headship of Christ. Number two, you let Christ sanctify you. You are continually hearing the word of God, trying to do better. You know, every day has to be better than the day before, more sanctified by responding to the invitation of the Word of God. Number three, it is mature and it is worthy of the call of God upon their life, upon her life. We need to mature in the Lord by taking responsibilities and being fed and being nourished by the Lord Jesus Christ. And number four, the bride produces acts of righteousness to bless many people around. So let's get ready. The bride says to the Lord, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let's all say, come, Jesus Christ. Come, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Hallelujah.